why does interagency contracting need to be tamed? Why is this so all over the place?
Well, this is something we've been following for well over a year. We had a special report about interagency contracting. And the point is, the proliferation of interagency contracts is costing the government and vendors tens of millions of dollars a year. We're talking about bid and proposal money. We're talking about, well, if I'm on this contract and then there's a new one coming out, I should bid on that one too. And there's a lot of duplication and overlap, and that was the point of actually the Senate hearing today. Mm-hmm. But every agency seems to have or want a multiple award contract, and many are just saying, well, why don't you just use, for instance, what's already out there, and then that's why the duplication comes into question. You have GSA's Alliant, for instance, which is a IT services contract. Mm-hmm. You have the National Institutes of Health's CIOSP2 contract, again, both for IT services, and that's what we're seeing, a lot of duplication in that IT services area. And again, it costs the government money, vendors money, and it costs resources because you need someone to oversee the contracts, do the bid and proposals.
Right.
Now, Dan Gordon, as you mentioned, is the administrator of OFPP. He, like many of his predecessors, recognize this growing problem, both in terms of cost and in duplication. And obviously, GAO, the Government Accountability Office, put interagency contracting on its high risk list. It's been there since 2005. Gordon today told the Senate's Committee on Governmental Affairs and Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs that OFPP's policy guidance and management controls have not kept pace on interagency contracting. And he says this new rule that's coming will bring interagency contracting back under control.
We will soon be issuing guidance that requires agency to develop business cases to support their decisions to create a new contract. While in many ways this is based on the success of the business cases we use in connection with government-wide acquisition contracts, by the way, a model that was commended and recommended for broader use by the Acquisition Advisory Panel a few years ago, the new business cases will expressly require that agencies consider whether their new contract might be causing duplication with existing vehicles. And they're going to need to justify why they think a new contract would be needed.
Now, the business case also have to include anticipated usage within and outside that agency. So they're going to say, we think 10 agencies are going to use it, and we're going to spend an average of, you know, pick a number, $500 million a year. Uh-huh. The value of the contract, they also have to come up and say, okay, how would the value of this contract, not the money value, but the worth of the contract, add to the current contracting options that are out there? Mm-hmm. And does the agency have the experience to award and administer the contract?
And that value, when you talk about that, you're not talking about anything with money.
Nope.
You're talking about what makes this one so important. Why can't you do this through the ones that are already available?
Correct. Okay. Why is this different than others? What's the value to the agency, to the government, not the cost? Exactly.
Because that's the crux of what this whole debate has been about. You're right. We've been covering this for a long time. This has been very frustrating, quite frankly, for people at the agencies, because they're going, what's the point of all of these? While I'm trying to figure out, I just want to get the stuff and the services that my agency needs.
And a lot of it goes back to, I have agencies say they have specific needs, they have specific issues, the contracts out there don't do what they need. And Dan Gordon basically is saying here, no, you have to now prove it to us.
Right.
And in fact, they're going to also have to identify the cost for awarding and managing the contract, because that's another big issue is again, we're talking about resources and people. Mm-hmm. And the amount of planned fees for agency customers and how those fees would be set. The rule would cover all government-wide acquisition contracts, or GWACs, multi-agency contracts, commonly known as multiple award contracts,
right,
but that cover multiple agencies, not just one agency, mm-hmm, and blanket purchase agreements. OPM issued the interim rule in December, accepted comments through February, and should be issuing a final rule in the coming weeks. Gordon says he wants to make sure the business cases meets the agency's needs and are not burdensome, and that's why we're taking a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is part of, it looks to me at least, like part of the administration's effort to streamline the whole process from beginning to end. How does, what piece, though, of that whole effort does this make up, do you think?
Well, in fact, getting interagency contracting under control is one of three efforts to improve federal acquisition, as Gordon described today. He says another key piece is strategic sourcing, which is part of interagency contracting in some ways, but it's also more challenging in many ways. Strategic sourcing is the idea of taking advantage of the government's buying power. The fact is, it's the largest buyer in the world. And then also eliminate these, what he calls duplication and saving money, because you get a better deal the more you buy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Gordon says, too often agencies award BPAs that are too narrow and serve a specific customer.
We are troubled, I am personally troubled, that we have this proliferation of agency and often component-specific BPAs We don't know anything about it. If you ask me how many BPAs exist under the schedules, the answer is I don't know. We have no visibility into BPAs, and as a result, we have started an effort several months ago where we're making some progress working with GSA, so we will have a way for agencies to learn about BPAs. With improved visibility, I'm hoping that we can reduce the duplication and consolidate our procurement volume.
That is Dan Gordon of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy at the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee talking today. This hearing was primarily about GAO's report on duplication across government. Was the committee satisfied with what OMB is doing in that area?
Well, the answer is no. Now, across the board, committee
members.
That's
pretty clear cut.
Yeah. The committee members wanted more examples. They wanted more what steps are being taken, what evidence that the administration is using GAO's work to improve the efficiency and reduce duplication. Now, but to be fair to OMB and the White House, GAO released a report about 3 months ago. So it's not a lot of time to make major changes. Mm-hmm. And additionally, about one third of all the programs that GAO highlighted as redundant need congressional approval to make those changes. And in fact, Gene Dodaro, who's the Comptroller General and runs GAO, went through a litany of things that they could do right now, and including, for instance, the ethanol tax, including saving hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, by adding one question to a form on the IRS to talk about survivor benefits. So, for instance, if you get a pension from the government, and then you start taking over that pension when your spouse and your spouse takes over that pension when you pass away, her Social Security would be impacted. But right now that data is not being shared, and there's hundreds of millions of dollars, not billions of dollars, being what he calls wasted.
There's a lot in that report, and I am actually surprised that it's taken Congress this long to dig as much as they did into it today. But I guess.
And in fact, I'll tell you, they didn't even dig very deeply. They each went down their own path of what they cared about. I mean, you know, Senator Collins went about the draft executive orders. Mm-hmm. She spent her time on that. Another Congressman Johnson, Senator Johnson, talked about the debt ceiling.
That's a new senator from Wisconsin.
I think so, yeah. And it just seems kind of odd that they had Vivek Kundra, the federal CIO, Dan Gordon, OFPP, Gene Dodaro, and they kind of took it down a path that they wanted to go down, which is not unusual for members of
it's
Congress.
It's not the first time that we or our audience has heard of such a thing, I imagine.
No, but they didn't really get into what's going to happen, how to make this happen. And real quick, the last piece of this that I think is interesting is Senator Lieberman's going to send a letter to from the committee to OMB, and the agency's asking, okay, what steps are you taking? Give us an update. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be another hearing later this year.
Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller, thank you very much. Tomorrow on the Federal Drive.
With Tom and Amy, we'll get even more details about what's going on.
Okay, and a story up at federalnewsradio.com as well. Thank you very much, Jason.